We're up to Siman Tovkuv Peiches, and we're going to be starting the Aloch Zmantkir Shofar, the time of the mitzvah, of the fulfillment of mitzvah Shofar. But before we start, I must get back to you about something that I said I will get back to you, and that is the sticker on the Shofar, Shaila. So I kindly got today the tshuva by Paul. He sent me the tshuva. Really, really interesting. He got hold of it. I don't know how. He managed to get hold of the tshuva of the Shevet Akiosi, who is the one who is the only one that I know that is really machmir on this. And he claims that why is it that, do you remember the halacha of that we learned about if you're covered with gold?
Yeah.
And he said that what's the basic concept of the halacha? If you cover a shofar with gold, the halacha is that it might affect the sound of the shofar. That's really the essential key of the seif, is that you might affect the sound if you cover it up. Now, it says that we do find later on a halacha of, that's what we discussed at that point, the metzairim b'shofar, somebody who makes a drawing or he engraves into the shofar, there we find that it's okay. So he distinguishes that based on some earlier sources, that the difference is, if it's a kol shehu, if it's only a minute amount, then a minute amount, really tiny amount, then that wouldn't be a problem. Because then it's for sure that the sound is not affected. But anything which is beyond the mashu, anything which is beyond the kolshu, anything which is beyond the tiny minute amount of the coloring, would be a question, claims the Shevet Akiosi. It would be a question, well, you don't know, maybe it affects the sound. You can't prove. And if you can prove, says the Shevet Akiosi, if you had a blow once beforehand and you knew that it was the way it sounded and you put the sticker on later and you knew that it sounded absolutely identical, then it's an achlama, it's not going to be a problem. But as long as you didn't do that, you could very well be, says, that anything which is beyond coloring thickness would be questionable because maybe it affected the sound of the shofar. And it would be the same halacha of the golden covering in the shofar. This is, in a nutshell, the words of the Shevet Akiosi. What do you think about that, Rabbi Yosei?
Hard to see that the outside affects the sound of the inside.
Yeah.
One of my pet topics is when people mix physics and halacha. And, like, you've got to be very careful when you mix physics and halacha because either I've learned that you cannot compare a physical molecule and a halachic molecule.
Definitely.
You get things like Bishul.
Sadly, yeah. Well, it's not molecules, though. It's tam. It's something else.
I'm doing Bas Mechalav now. It's very interesting. And sometimes with machmir, that the tam goes into the whole machal instantaneously, and sometimes we say it might take some time.
It spreads, yeah.
And it seems that some of the svaras are sometimes based on physics or chemistry, and sometimes they're not. They're just based on numdus. And it's something that I personally don't really have much of a relationship to. Because I feel like if you're going to talk about numbers, fine. If it's about physics, fine. Mm. If you're going to try and mix the two, where convenient, then... And maybe I'm at a disadvantage because I've got such a strong background in physics and chemistry. Not that, I've got but more than your average person who's sat in college all day. And so it...
Well, you see that?
I don't know.
Right.
I'm not trying to come on any conceits.
Okay. So if it would be a halacha, a halachic point, how much would you agree with the Shevet Akiosi?
From a lomdish point of view,
yeah? What do you think? Yeah? But is that the sticker? The sticker, Shaila? Yeah, okay, so that's our point. I just want to share with you the... you hear the point. You hear the point the Shevet Akiosi says. It's definitely an interesting point. I think it's an interesting point. Although, I must say that the point I'm struggling with, personally, is to understand, how much of a difference is it between the sticker... I never measured the sticker, the thickness of a sticker.
There must be a way, as you're saying, like,
Okay, that's a slightly different point, which is a valid point too, but that's not what I was thinking about. I was thinking about seemingly the thickness of a sticker and the thickness of colouring. There's not going to be much of a difference, arguably. I don't know. I never measured either, but it doesn't say the colour has to be particularly thin or anything like that. I wondered if that is really. But that's what the Shaveka also says. So somebody wants to know why somebody should be, if somebody's machmir to take off the sticker, where it's coming from, the answer is going to be something on those lines. Okay, but it doesn't seem to be the Iker Halacha, certainly, yeah.
So if you took a whole big bunch of cotton wool and you wrap your shofar in cotton wool, probably not going to make much difference, even though there's tons
in sound.
Just to wrap very lightly.
You probably would. I assume you would. Would it? Would you not? What do you think, Abba Isai? If you cover up a shofar with tons of cotton wool, do you think it would make it, would affect the sound? Probably would that, to a certain extent, I don't know.
But what I want to say is, if you took some epoxy resin or some really strong super glue, and very tiny, tiny amount of super glue, like nail varnish,
right,
you cover the middle bits of the chauffeur in nail varnish,
right,
even though it's very, very thin, it's going to affect the chauffeur a lot more, because it's affecting the way it can reverberate.
Okay, I hear all that. Okay, yeah, I hear. Okay, I just wanted to share with you the Shevet HaKasi. And, okay. Now we're going to be learning Simon Tov Kuf Pei Ches, which is the Halachas of Zman Tkia Shofar. So we're going to be learning what is the ideal time of blowing the shofar. And we're going to learn some of the main essential points and rules concerning Tkia's shofar. Zman Tkia Shofar, Sif Aleph. The time of blowing the shofar is merely by day. You cannot fulfill the mitzvah of blowing the shofar by night. And the beginning of the time of fulfilling the mitzvah is mishas netzachamo, when the sun rises, ve'elech, and so forth. So the time starts by netzachamo. Vim toka mesha'ol amud ha-shachar. If you blew the shofar by the time of amud ha-shachar, which is earlier than that, which is when the morning stars come, amud ha-shachar, then yotze is yotze. Halachically, it's an earlier time than netzachamo. Then you are yotze. So lechatchili should only do from netzachamo onwards. Alois ha-shachar, you are yotze, if you blew from after alois ha-shachar, between alois ha-shachar and netzachamo, you are yotze, but it's only b'dievet so. Vim shah miktas tkiya koidem alois ha-shachar. If you heard the Tkiah Shofar partially before Amud HaShachar, Umiktos HaAcha Sh'ol Amud HaShachar, and partially after Amud HaShachar, Lo Yotzo, he's not Yotze. Why is that so? We covered this halacha yesterday. Why is that? Correct. The entire Tkiah needs to be in a time of Chiyuv. So if he was partially before Amud HaShachar, which you can't fulfill the mitzvah yet, so although it might have been a long tkiya after Amud HaShachar, but it doesn't help you. The whole tkiya needs to be in a valid time. That's the point I just mentioned now. Okay, so we're learning now that the ideal time is from Netzachama onwards, and you can't be yoitze from Alois HaShachar until Netzachama bedyavet. So when do we blow nowadays? Much later, that's right. What time is that roughly?
Depends when you daven.
Yeah, sure.
Probably the matter stuff 1 year, and they probably do something like 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
7 in the morning.
But that's not going to be very far from Netzachamo, yeah. But I think nowadays we don't really do that. So why is that? What's the background? Why is that we blow so late nowadays? What's the background behind that? And why is that so? Let me see Mishneh Berurah, Sifkot Na'alef. B'yoyim v'loy b'laylo, the ksiv yoyim tru'a yelachem, it says yoyim tru'a, day of blowing, which implies it must be by day. V'im nimshachat ben ha-shmoshes, yizkah b'loy b'roche. If you slept out, davening until ben, if you only got to musaf by ben ha-shmoshes, then you should blow, but without the b'roche. There's one man in particular I'm aware of in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, by a very, very choshev tzaddik, who tends to daven very, very, very long shmoneh esrei, and very long tefillahs. And he literally finishes Musav Mamash by Ben HaShemoshes on Rosh Hashanah. Mamash Ben HaShemoshes. Imagine that. That's like, yeah, really, really late in deep afternoon. Only then he finishes Musav. So that's not...
staying with him?
Pardon?
There's a minion who's staying with him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The truth is, but many Hasidim daven that late. They don't have to daven there. It's because people want to daven there. Nobody's forced to daven there. They have a Kiddush. They have a Kiddush before. Pardon? So they do have a Kiddush. Which is a topic which I want to discuss as well. Pardon?
We're talking about 7 hours
tefillah. They do really, yeah. I must say that, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They wouldn't give up anything for that, for davening with him. Yeah. 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 Pardon? I think they might just make it. I know that that particular person is a gewaltige Talmid, is a big Talmid Chacham in his own right, and he's got a shtickle Torah, why it's not a problem to daven into Shkia. And I think it's based on a Sfas Emes, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that. I don't remember exactly, but I remember that he's got a shtickle Torah to explain that. That once you're Osik B'mitzvah, you don't have to worry about, whilst you're davening, you don't have to worry about timings of other tefillah or something. I don't exactly remember the cheshbon, although I heard it once. So, but I'm not even sure he actually goes into Shkia. He might start before. He might start before, I'm not sure. Okay. Sif Cotton Base, Yotza. Now, that's a very important Mishneh Berurah here. First wide line. The Min Hadin. Really, Mesha'olam Udashacha, Yomamahu Lekol Advorim. Really, for all the areas of Halacha, from Amud Hashachar, it's already considered day. Now, we know this Halacha, for in the winter, we sometimes count down with the nets. Right? If you're a working man, and you need to be the office in the winter at a reasonable time, you often can't wait for the nets, because what time is the latest nets in England, here in London? What kind of the latest nets sometimes is around?
Quarter past eight,
right? If you start davening Shemai Nesek at 8:15, you can't. You have to daven before Netzach Hama sometimes. So the truth is that you can't daven before Netzach Hama. It's because it's considered Alois HaShachar. Alois HaShachar, which is the period before Netzach Hama, is also really considered day. It's really considered day. But for many mitzvahs, we are makbe to wait until Netzach Hama, because that's the Vaday day. But really, the period before that, Alois HaShachar, between Alois HaShachar and Netzach Hama, is also really considered day. Elo lefi she'ein ha'kol bekiim boy, ve'zimnin da'osi la'akdumei. And since people are not so aware exactly when is Netzach Hama, when is Alois HaShachar, therefore, hitzricho chachomim lechatchin ha'antin ha'netzach Hama. So ideally, we have to wait until Netzach Hama. The yoyim boru la'kol, because Netzach Hama, when the sun rises, that's clearly day. Before that, it's not so clear. V'loi ba'in ad she'ale kol ha'guf ha'shemesh al'oritz. You don't need the entire sun to rise. It's not necessary. Elo m'shas t'chil ha'sanet, only when the sun starts to be seen, kam ken mutal lechatchil, it's also perfectly okay. Miu, and that's the crucial point over here. However, kol zemei kadin. This is the main halacha, that you should blow the shofar after Netzach Hama. Oy b'shas hadchag, or if it's necessary, ki goyim shetzorech latzis laderech v'chei gavna, or if it's really necessary, then you'll be able to blow the shofar at that point. Aval chachomim tiknu, but chachomim established, now in a second, leskiyos shofar b'musafin. They established that the blowing of the shofar should be by musaf, which obviously, it's going to be a lot later than Netzach Hama. Because remember, normally we would do the mitzvahs as soon as possible after Netzach Hama, because of the concept of Zrizin Makdimim LeMitzvahs. Normally, you want to fulfill the mitzvahs ASAP. But over here, we don't. Why don't we? Really, you should blow the shofar as soon as you wake up. First thing, Moda Ani, the Chazan should take out the bang three times, and then Tkir. Blow the shofar. We don't do that. Why is that so? Why do we push it off? Why do we push off? Says the Mishneh Berurah. Ve'omru b'gemara tama. The reason for that is explained in the Gemara. The Shas HaGzeira Hoysa, it was a time of decrees by other nations. Shalo yisku Yisrael b'shoifa, that Yidin should not blow the shoifa. Ve'yu oyer v'inohem. And they were trying to catch the Yidin. Kon shei shois. Throughout the first 6 hours of the day. Shal zman tfila shachis. Because you can daven shachis all the way till midday. And they were trying to catch the Eden, hanging around, listening, when are the Eden blowing the shofar? And the Eden didn't have a choice. And therefore, they pushed off blowing the shofar all the way till Musaf. And from that it seems, that the Yidden have had the minhag and the tradition for many years already, from early generations. Therefore, combined with the main tkiyas, also the early tkiyas, we don't blow them first thing in the morning. We wait until Musaf. We just blow them after lining, before Musaf, which is a bit later on. That's when we blow the shofar, because of the earlier decree that happened. So therefore, in conjunction with that, we just blow the shofar quite late. That's an interesting point now. Even an individual who is on his own, who's blowing by himself, you should make sure to blow after 3 hours counting from the morning, 3 hours in the morning. That he should also make sure that his tkias of an individual should be around the same time than the shul. So if ever somebody's in hospital or something like that, you should try to aim that his tkias should be, if possible. Often it's not possible. But if possible, the ideal time is not zrizin makdimim le mitzvahs. The ideal time is to blow the shofar at the same time than the shul is blowing the shofar. Whichever shul. Probably you can find any time nowadays, ranging from 8 o'clock. Till 6 o'clock in the evening, but you can just try to probably to get a more or less a time that makes sense that many shuls will blow the shofar. Yeah, definitely. One should definitely the second best tefillah b'tzibah is if you cannot daven with a tzibah, then the Shulchan Aruch said, Halacha says that if you can't daven with a tzibah, at least you should daven at the same time than a tzibah. And it's to a certain, very low extent, it's considered tefillah b'tzibah, because your tefillah gets, to a certain extent, merges and joins the tefillah of the shul, to a limited extent, but it's still better than not. Now, there's an obvious question about that. Okay, so we understand now that really would have said Zrizim Makdimim. Let's just recap that. Really, we should have said Zrizim Makdimim. We don't say Zrizim Makdimim. We don't blow straight away after Netzach Hamah. Why? Because it was early decrees. It was impossible. It was dangerous. It was impossible. Therefore, Chachomim were Mesak and they established that you blow later on in the day. And because of that, that's why you blow later on in the day. And even an individual should blow later on. Fine. Okay, so what's the question on that? Very practically speaking.
So
absolutely.
It's just a
right.
Now we're not a time of
Shabbat. Can I just rephrase this a little bit? So that might have made sense in those generations where there wasn't danger. But nowadays, that there is no danger, we can blow very freely. Well, excluding cancel restrictions, I suppose. But if you could blow initially. Well, you could blow really. There's no danger in blowing earlier nowadays. So surely it should be going back to that. We should blow first thing in the morning. Why don't we blow nowadays, 2014? Why don't we blow early in the morning? Why do we push it off? Or do we have Timosef? Question makes sense. Question makes sense. That's the Shartzin. Mishmuel Shartzin. So if Kanye asked the question, and he says as follows. Second line. Rosh Hashanah daf lamed beis amud beis. The kosuv betoyz was the word afal. That's the words I want to point out. The afal gav shebotel ashmat. Although the danger is now nullified, not existing anymore. Layav dinon kedemei kore. We do not go back to the initial way we did it. Afal pidez zrizim makdimim mitzvot. Although zrizim makdimim mitzvot, we do not change that anymore. The chashinon very well. I don't know if pessimistic is the right word, but the chashinon we are worried. Shama yachzor. Hadavar, maybe the matter will return, lidei kilkuloi, will come back to... That's right, yeah, you're pointing out very correctly, you never know. So you're right, so you're saying that there's a bit of a ruachodish in there, you're pointing out. Yeah, so it's actually a gemara that says that you never know how things develop. Fortunately, history, as you're pointing out, history teaches us many, many episodes that Yidden weren't allowed to fulfill the mitzvahs throughout all the centuries, in all the continents. There was generations and periods of time that Yidden couldn't fulfill the mitzvahs. You never know. Don't just put it back just at the beginning of davening. You never know. Maybe it's going to be times again that Yidden won't be able to fulfill the mitzvahs. And therefore, the Tkiah Shofar remains later to join with Musaf as opposed to Zrizim Makdimim early first thing in the morning. That's what the Gemara, that's what Mishnah Berurah says. Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting point. You're saying that, that's right, that's a really fascinating point. I haven't got an answer for that. No. So what's your question? So what were you asking? You're asking that...
Whenever you have it, have the shofar there, and that's the time they'll target.
Mm-hmm. I hear that point. That's a very interesting point. I never thought of that.
Morning prayers at 9 o'clock, they're not going to turn up at 12 o'clock for when you're blowing the shofar, because morning prayers at 9 o'clock.
Uh-huh. I see. They'll know that it's during the morning service, and they'll show up 9 o'clock.
What's the point of
You want to answer or is it a different question? Okay, so one second, I just want to get this clear because it's a really interesting question. What do you think? It's an interesting point. It's a really interesting point. But I suppose the point of the Gemara is that you don't have enough, you don't have sufficient power, you don't have sufficient pull over here to pull it back to Zizi Makdimin. Because you never know what happens. You can't really put it back on a Sofek type of thing. I think that's probably that kind of Svara. Yes?
I think that whatever the reason the Chachamim had for putting it forward, they might have been Taylor the reason on this, but I think it's such a Shvacha reason that Mistama, they had a different reason in the back of their head. They didn't
oh, us. That's a very interesting point that you are saying. What you are saying is something which is brought down in the Achroinim. It's really interesting. I actually didn't see it with regards to this, but it's a general concept that we find the Gaon writes about it and other Achroinim write about it. Early Achroinim, they write that whenever we have got a reason in the Gemara, it's not necessary to a takana. It's not necessarily the only reason. It's just the only revealed reason that we have got. And therefore, whenever Chachamim say the reason of a takana is because of this and that and the other, just because that reason may not apply with a certain scenario, doesn't mean that you mustn't keep the halacha. I'll tell you where this is really nogea. But this is really again with regards to one place where it's brought down in Achov at great length is regards to Chol of Akum. Chol of Akum, for instance, where the reason of the Gzera is that Shema Yare Bodova Tome, that maybe they're going to mix some Tome. What happens if there is no Chashash? There's no concern they're going to put Tome impure from impure animals. It's unlikely they're going to put camel's milk in the Tesco's milk. Well, the truth is nowadays you never know. But what happens then? So if there is no chashash of shema yore badova tome, what happens then? And that, of course, is a very crucial question. Because if you go according to the letter of the law, it's the wrong word, letter of the law, if you're according to a simple understanding, then you're going to think, well, the reason is not existing. They're not going to put camel's milk in there because it's illegal. They're going to get fined. Whatever the reason may be, it's unlikely they're going to do it. Then you could say, well, if that's the case, you can buy Tesco's milk. But if you go according to that approach, that whenever there's a gzera, there might be other reasons as well which are not revealed to us, just that the main reason that Gemara explains, but there's other reasons as well to the Chum which are not explicit, then that wouldn't help. Even if you can find a case that the gzera doesn't apply, that the reason of the gzera doesn't apply, you still wouldn't be able to do it. This is a very, very interesting discussion. A very interesting discussion. And that's an interesting discussion. But I must say, after all, it's a very big chiddush. Because we are taught, and we are told, that we deal, that's what Torah is all about, we deal with what we know, what we have got. I find it always a very big chiddush, this whole discussion, I find it a very big chiddush, because we are taught, we've got tools how to deal with halacha, right? That's what we're doing. We've got tools that we're given. Tools how we're dealing with halacha. And I find it always a very big chiddush that we say, yeah, there might be another whole world that you don't know about. But why don't I know about it? The Ribbono Shel Olam gave us a Torah with all the tools that can deal with it. We are being given the Torah. The Torah is ours. Torah Shana Satali, Torah Shana, Torah, what's Lashna Medrash? I've given you the Torah. It's ours, as it were. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam's, but he gave it to us. So I find it always a very, my Amaratzit, I find it a very big Chiddush always. To say, well, there might be another reason which we didn't tell you. The whole Gemara doesn't seem to be dealing in that approach. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, but you're quite right. There's definitely achronim who going in that mahalach. There's definitely such a discussion. There's definitely such a mahalach. Do you want to say something? Ah, good. Okay.
Just one other. I think didn't Gemara mention that they make it later because of the shluffers. They come later.
The latecomers.
Women, children. So there'll be a what do you call it like when you listen from the beginning.
Roivam. I don't remember. No. There is a discussion of Roiv Am. It definitely goes into the sugya there. There is Roiv Am in the sugya there, but I don't remember how exactly fits in the sugya. I don't remember. Oh, I see. Right, right. Very good. Very good. No, you're quite right. There's definitely in the sugya that discusses Roiv Am. Definitely, but I don't remember how. I don't know.
We said that the children.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Yeah, but that's not the reason that the Mishnah Berurah brings. Although you're quite right, the Gemara does mention that as well. Okay, very interesting. Seif Kotten Gimel in Mishnah Berurah as well. The Mishnah Berurah says Lo Yotza, and we're discussing now again the halacha. If you started blowing the shofar before Lo Yisa Shachar, and you carry on blowing until until after Lois HaShachar. So Mishnah Berurah says, Lo Yotza, Sifkot and Gimel, the Sof Tkiyah B'Lo Yitchila, Lo Yimahani V'Lo Yimidi. A start of a Tkiyah, without an end, or vice versa, you're not Yotza. K'da'el B'Sim Tovkuv Peizan, Sifkot, which we learned yesterday. Skip the brackets. V'Nireh Da'afilu Hayoyim, even nowadays, Sh'Nagin Litkiyah Shloshim Koylois, even nowadays that we blow 30 Tkiyahs, or, in fact, even more than that, Yilot says, Yidei Kol Sofik, to fulfill all the opinions, Tzirchin Ganken Lizoyer, we need to be particularly careful. We also need to be careful. We need to be careful that all the tkiyas are in the valid time period. And I must say, this made me triggered some. This is an answer to a question that somebody asked yesterday. I've forgotten who asked the question. I mentioned yesterday that when we spoke about the tkiyas, that the tkiyas need to be complete. We mentioned about coughing in the middle. We mentioned about the Baal Tokiah saying still Tkiyah, and if he's still saying Tkiyah, then do you remember all that? So somebody asked, but really, really it doesn't matter because you're anyway blowing so many Tkiyahs. So it doesn't really matter. Yeah? So I answered yesterday, do you remember who asked it? Was it Paul maybe? Was it you? The question that we are, that was asked yesterday, who's taking credit for it? You can all answer it. Pardon? Yeah. The question was that we said that you have to yell all the tkiyas from beginning to end. And if there's a cough in the middle, or there's a sneeze in the middle, or you don't hear the whole tkiya, it's a problem. Maybe, yeah, I've forgotten who. So the question was, well, if that's the case, so somebody said, I've forgotten who, that it's not really such a problem, because we're blowing so many tkiyas nowadays, so it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. So the answer to that, I asked that, well, we still want to have all the tkiyas. But I just want to point out, this Mishnah Berurah over here points out this very point Mishnah Berurah points out. He says that even nowadays that we do the 30 tkiyas, but the same way apply with the 100 tkiyas, you need to make sure to listen to have all those tkiyas, and we need to have all those tkiyas. That's the halach is to have the 30 tkiyas, or the 100 tkiyas, we need to hear them. So it's true that they are based on chumras, it's true. But nevertheless, the halach is, we want to have them all. And therefore, if there is a blow or a sneeze or whatever it may be, it is a problem. Just because it's a chumra.
In between the tkiyas.
In between it's okay. I'm referring to if it's cut off, the tkiyah. Now, in other words, you don't have the beginning, or you don't have the end of the tkiyah, or you don't have the middle part of the tkiyah. It's a problem. But yes, we'll generally talk about chatzit tkiyah, and that will be a problem. Okay, and we're going to start tomorrow with Shem with Seif Beis. Continuous Seif Beis, yeah.